This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Little Gold Men listeners. It's Katie Rich here. Today, we're giving you a preview of a podcast we think you'll enjoy from our friends over at Pitchfork. It's called The Pitchfork Review, and it's hosted by Pitchfork Editor-in-Chief Pooja Patel and Reviews Editor Jeremy D. Larson. Each episode pulls back the curtain on the latest releases in music, giving an expert guide to what's exciting, what's great, and what's just plain terrible. Keep listening for a preview of the first episode where Pooja and Jeremy are joined by Pitchfork Features editor Ryan Domble to talk through the latest album from the 1975. Whether it's debating whether the album sounds more like Lionel Richie or Huey Lewis or how this new work compares to the band's previous efforts, it's really fun and informative listen. In the coming weeks, the pod will cover the latest releases from Bjork, Taylor Swift, and more. And don't forget to follow the Pitchfork Review, available wherever you're listening now or via the link in this episode's show notes.
This is the Pitchfork Review, the show about the musicians we're obsessed with and the albums you need to know right now. I'm Pooja Patel, the editor-in-chief of Pitchfork, and in each episode, I'll be joined by some of my favorite critics and editors to dig into new releases, legendary artists, and even some that you probably haven't heard of yet. We'll share the thinking and the analysis behind what we do because, trust me, there is a lot that goes into each and every review. And on that note, one person that you'll be hearing a lot from is Pitchfork's reviews editor and my co-host, Jeremy Larson. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Pooja. Talking about music. I love it.
So I thought we'd kick off this new season with our favorite polarizing pop band, the 1975, and their new album, Being Funny in a Foreign Language. We featured them on a recent cover story and gave the release an 8.0. Whether or not you're a fan of the 1975, here's the deal. The band is made up of four guys from Manchester, England, and fronted by the moody and charming and sometimes controversial singer Matty Healy. They first got together in 2002 when they were in high school, playing punk covers under a bunch of different names. And then in 2013, they officially began calling themselves the 1975, started writing their own emo-influenced music, and released their self-titled debut. By their second album in 2016, the band had refined their sound and sharpened their wit to become a legitimate pop outfit. The title of that album, and bear with me here, is I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful Yet So Unaware of It. This is when Matty started stepping into his indie, cool kid, heartthrob era with songs like Somebody Else and Love Me. And love me. If that's what you wanna do. Over the next few years, the band's music captured a generation in existential crisis. Their 2018 album, A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships, became the voice of millennial angst with songs like Love It If We Made It. And then, at the start of the pandemic, they released Notes on a Conditional Form. It was a sprawling, indulgent, and very, very, very long album that saw Matty at his most personal, including on the song Guys. It was the best All right, so let's jump into this. I feel like every 1975 album is self-serious in some kind of way, but this one feels like the 1975 is trying to be taken seriously. Ryan, what was your first take upon listening to the album?
My first take was that this album is extremely short. 1975 are known for doing everything to the nth degree, and that includes the amount of songs on their albums. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this one is 11 songs, and it's about 45 minutes, like a normal length for an album.
I mean, it's half the length of Notes on a Conditional Form.
So yeah, they made half of an album compared to their last one. And I do think that part of that is, they're getting older. They're in their 30s now. There's something self-consciously classic about this album. A lot of the photography is black and white. Mm-hmm. This is kind of their attempt to do something timeless, perhaps, whereas a lot of their previous music was very of the moment. That song, Love It If We Made It, is kind of famously replicating the effect of an endless scroll of social media. This album to me is maybe less endless scroll, more very old book or something, that the pages are yellowing.
Jeremy, what about you?
So when I first hit play and I heard the first track, the 1975, and I heard that little piano line, I was thrilled because here is this band who is known for sounding like so many other bands, like INXS and Fine Young Cannibals and Duran Duran and all of that. And here they are, like, taking a page right out of LCD Sound System's book, a band who are also known for sounding like a bunch of other bands, like New Order and yada, yada, yada. And so I was like, oh my God, we are in the most self-reflexive, heady, amazing space. Like, I am so glad to be back with my, like, neurotic man, Maddie. And then it opens with a boner joke. And I'm like, yes, let's go. I'm so excited.
This will get bigger, if you know what I mean. I'm sorry if you live in year 17. I heard it's on vogue to be super thin, but your friends aren't thick, so they can't come in.
I think he deserves a little bit of credit based on, what he's done before. But, like, It'll Get Bigger, if you know what I mean, is also, the song deals with, like, the decline of democracy. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's notes of climate collapse. And to me, like, that line doubles as all the terrible shit that's happening now will get bigger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As well. So it's like, it is a boner joke. It is also like a condemnation of humanity. And what better kind of boner joke is
that? I loved that first track. And then we sort of dip into some of the other more romantic, sincere songs. And I started to feel the album sort of shrink musically. And that's when sort of all of the excitement sort of like started to leave me, because I think part of what I love about this band is their extra-ness and how little basically fucks they have to give. When Maddie is writing lyrics, when they are doing these very indulgent interludes, and like, I couldn't tell you what song 19 on Notes on a Conditional Form sounds like, but I sort of like love the effort that they're putting in there. Whether it works, whether it hits as hard as their earlier stuff, like, I feel like that is something we can maybe talk about.
Jeremy, for people who did not like this album, who would rather not with this album, what would you recommend they listen to instead?
Check out the four previous 1975 albums. Billy Joel's Turnstiles, that has a lot of what this this is going on with.
I cannot believe that you are recommending that someone listen to a Billy Joel album instead of this one.
That's what this sounds like to me. Like, it just, all the instrumentation and the mixing just sounds so Billy Joel-y, or like Lionel Richie to me. If you don't like this, maybe you'll like Billy Joel.
Ryan, what would you recommend for people who love this album?
You know, one thing we were talking about was Huey Lewis's The Power of Love classic.
100%.
Another 80s classic. Another one like Don Henley, Boys of Summer, reminds me a lot of like some of the songs on this album. Bruce Hornsby, The Way It Is. There's definitely a piano on a song called Oh Caroline that is, seems a very similar tone as that famous Bruce Hornsby piano. Decide for me. Baby, I'll do anything that you wanna. I'll try anything that you wanna. I'll try.
Ryan Domble and Jeremy Larson, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you.
I love it that we made a podcast.
Same. Anything else that you love, Jeremy, that you want to share?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the reviews director of Pitchfork, and this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, Jay Paul, Muna, Jesse Ware, 100 Gex, and many more. The festival also features diverse vendors as well as a specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.
From PRX.